Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for spending some time with me today. When considering the Old Covenant, the Bible clearly shows that the law of God existed before Mount Sinai, and it is eternally in effect, even after the death of Christ. So God's law is how God lives. God and the Word live that way eternally, in cooperation, in harmony, in unity, and it's the way that they continue to live as God the Father and Jesus Christ. And they want to bring as many as are willing into that family. And everyone will follow that same law. But part of the Old Covenant also was a number of civil laws, including the death penalty. And so sometimes when people hear that the law of God is still in effect today, they might question this and say, well, wait a second. In ancient Israel, if certain crimes were committed, the penalty was death. So, you know, what if somebody in God's true church, in the body of Christ, were to do something like that? Well, do you put them to death? They might be sincere in that question, or they might be insincere sometimes, but still that question can come up. And so it's worth considering. There were a number of civil laws in that old covenant, but there has been a change, not in the law of God, but in the administration of God's government. Let's notice this beginning in Exodus 21, and we'll look at verse 12, and then verses 23 and 24. This is part of that those civil laws. It says, "He that smites a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if any mischief follow, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." And so some people that are familiar with that will say, well, if God's law is still in effect, well, what about this? Hand for hand, eye for eye, tooth for tooth? They're getting confused on the administration of the civil law under the Old Covenant. It has changed today. And this is explained by Paul in 2 Corinthians 3. And this is a little bit of a longer passage, and it's worded in a way that maybe is hard to grasp at first, but we'll go through it, and I think we'll understand the change that has occurred. 2 Corinthians 3, and we'll read verses 6 through 11. It says, "Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament?" So he's talking about ministry in the New Testament, God's true ministers. He says, "Ministers not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And as we'll look at a little bit more later, what he is referring to here is the fact that ancient Israel was not offered eternal life. They were offered blessings if they were obedient to the letter of the law, which is a great thing, but still at the end of their lives, they were not offered eternal life. They will be, but they were not at that time. And so that's what he's referring to here. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We need God's Holy Spirit if we want to enter into eternal life. Verse 7 says, "But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away." You remember when Moses came down from meeting with God, the God of the Old Testament, who became Jesus Christ, his face shone. And the children of Israel were afraid of him because of his face was shining. And it didn't last. It wasn't that way forever. But for a time, that was the way that it was. And so the law was written and engraven in stones. And it was glorious, Paul says. It was glorious. But that was all under what he terms the ministration of death. Because again, eternal life wasn't being offered. Verse 8 says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? In other words, if that ministration of death, letter of the law, was glorious, this ministration of the Spirit is even more glorious. It says, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, so it was a good law. It says, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. This is even better. The ministry and the government of God in the New Testament church is what he's referring to. It's even more glorious. Verse 10 says, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excels. So it's a better ministration today. Verse 11 says, for if that which is done away was glorious, so that civil law under the old covenant, it was glorious. He says, much more that which remains is glorious. This ministration of life, ministration of the Spirit, is more glorious. And so Paul is talking about this here, and here's a little more context. This is from the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, and if you don't have that, please sign up for it. The administration, it says, of death, like all the statutes and judgments, was based on the Ten Commandments. So ancient Israel's civil laws were based on the Ten Commandments. It says it was, like many other laws, written on stones. And when the Israelites broke the law, they were punished by the civil authorities or ministration. And in some cases, like we just read in Exodus, the punishment was death. So it was serious. It was a serious law, you know, if it required whatever the act was required, that type of punishment. It says the punishments constantly reminded Israel of the consequences of breaking God's law. And today, it serves as an example for us. There is penalty for breaking God's law. There are consequences. We don't want to take his law lightly. It says it helps us remember our weakness and the need of divine help to overcome our human nature. Without God's Spirit, we are just like the Israelites, unable to fully obey God's spiritual law. You know, ancient Israel had God's laws, but they just couldn't obey them. They couldn't obey them. They didn't have God's Spirit, and so they needed a pretty strong civil law and administration of that law to keep them in line, because they didn't have a heart to obey God. But even humans that don't have a heart to obey God, if they know there'll be severe punishment for an action, they typically will avoid it. And we see that all over, even today. Most people don't commit crimes because the punishment for them is pretty severe. People don't want to go to prison. People don't want to, in some, you know, extreme cases, I guess, have the death penalty. So they avoid the crimes that would, you know, lead to those types of penalties. It says, in the end, even if they had kept the letter of the law perfectly, talking about the Israelites, they would have received only material blessings, no eternal life. And thus the letter kills. So the letter of the law was good, but the end of it wasn't eternal life. It was blessings in the physical life, which is great. But God wants to give eternal life to people. He wants to expand his family. And that takes the Spirit of God to do that, not just the letter of the law. Although obeying the letter is important, as Christ taught, but we need to obey the letter and the Spirit. He expanded the law when he came. He made it even more in-depth and got into the intent and the attitude and the thought, not just the action. The quote continues and says, however, under the new administration under Christ, we have the chance to be pardoned and forgiven of our sins, if we go to God in repentance of our evil ways. Instead of administering the death penalty for sins, Christ, the apostles, and his ministers today teach the people the way to eternal life. And thus, Christ's ministers administer life to mortal man. And that is why it is more glorious. So I hope that makes sense. I hope it clears up that topic a little bit. Under the Old Covenant, there were civil laws based on the Ten Commandments. And if the ancient Israelites broke those laws, they would be punished by the civil authorities according to those laws. And that was all under the government that came down through Moses. But today it's different. In the true church of God, in the body of Christ, and we'll look at an example to try to wrap our minds around this a little bit more. There's an administration of life today from God's ministry. You know, there may be a penalty in terms of not being able to attend church services or be a functioning member in the body for a time, and we'll look at that. But as far as the actual civil punishments, that's the civil authorities do that. And there still are punishments for breaking laws, of course. And we'll see here in a little bit where God tells us, look, we have to obey those laws. But Christ's ministry is true ministry. They do not go out and execute those civil punishments for the breaking of civil laws. They teach repentance and faith. It says the administration of death was to continue until it was superseded by the administration of the Spirit. And that's what we have today within the body of Christ. That is the key. A new administration was needed, not a new law. The Ten Commandments weren't done away with. It's just the administration was changed. And there is a chance for repentance. Ancient Israel didn't have a chance for repentance because Christ hadn't come and died yet. People today have a chance to repent and to change. And that's why it's more glorious. There's a great write-up that explains this topic more. It's called A Life-Saving Ministry, and it's in an archived article at pcg.church. You can go to that website and read that article, A Life-Saving Ministry, if you'd like to. But here's a couple of quotes. It says, God founded that civil law on the principles of the Ten Commandments. However, the administration of death was contained within the civil laws of Moses. Murder, kidnapping, and adultery, for example, were all punishable by death. The administration of death was the civil execution of the punishment for such violations. And in this verse, talking about what we just read here from Paul, it says Paul extols that civil law was glorious. This law, however, wasn't what God had in mind from the beginning. God established it only for a temporary purpose, just as Moses' face shone for only a little while, as we read about. If this administration was only temporary, and it resulted in death, why did Paul call it glorious? Doesn't seem all that glorious, does it? Well, here's a few reasons. First, it was based on the glorious principles of the Ten Commandments. So those civil laws were glorious because they were based on the principles of the Ten Commandments. Also, it showed the need for God's Holy Spirit. A human being's power, will, and strength are pathetically weak and always unsuccessful without God's Holy Spirit. So the civil laws and Israel's effort to obey them and punishment for not obeying them, it pointed to the fact that we need God's Holy Spirit to really obey God. We need a change of heart, a change of mind. It also condemned lawbreakers to appropriate punishments. This punishment was necessary in the carnal society of Israel and prevented a lot of lawlessness and crime. And that's the same even today. I mean, there are many people that do not commit crimes, and mainly because they know the punishment would be very severe. If there was no punishment for, say, stealing, more people would probably steal. But there's a punishment for it, so it prevents it from happening. I mean, you see riots in cities occasionally, and one of the first things you see is people looting. They feel like, oh, well, it's chaos. No one's going to know what I'm doing, so I'm just going to steal some things. And so you see people running around with, you know, well, back in the day anyway, it used to be TVs and everything else they could carry out of the store. You know, they wouldn't have done that on a normal day. Why did they do it during that riot? Well, they thought they could get away with it. So that's not really having a heart to obey God or a mind to obey God. It's just they don't want to be punished. And so ancient Israel was similar. They were carnal-minded people. They didn't have God's Holy Spirit. So they needed a very specific civil law that would prevent, you know, crime and so forth. And it says the civil law recorded on these stones served its purpose for the carnal nation of Israel. Had the Israelites kept it, the nation would have been glorious. They would have had tremendous physical blessings, even on, you know, even for keeping the letter of the law. More of God's purpose would have been accomplished. You know, Israel would have been an example nation, that if they keep a law, even by the letter of it, they'll be blessed physically. But did the civil law bring lasting repentance, change of heart, or conversion? Not at all. And that was not its purpose. God's Spirit wasn't there. And so there was a civil law, and it was a good law, and it was based on God's Ten Commandments, but it did not bring lasting repentance, change of heart, or conversion. Conversion, you know, real change, a change of attitude, a change of heart, being teachable, really wanting to obey God, and having the heart to do it, even when there's not a lot of authorities watching to make sure, so that, they can administer a punishment if the law is broken. The sacrifice of Christ changed the ministration of the law. Physical Israel had the law administered in a physical way. You remember the principle there, eye for an eye. Doesn't mean that they always literally took an eye for an eye, but there was a just payment for the crime that was committed. But Christ's sacrifice opens the way for forgiveness. Forgiveness. Upon repentance of sins. The ministration of the law within spiritual Israel, God's church, is spiritual. For those baptized into the body of Christ, eternal life, salvation, is on the line. And so God's people are taught to obey God's law. This is what God's people are taught, to obey God's law and to repent when they sin. The Ten Commandments are in effect as much as ever, and keeping God's law has eternal consequences for God's people. So that's what God's ministry teach. Obedience to God's law is Ten Commandments, and if people do sin, then repentance, change, repent of it. Keep the law. There is space for repentance and change. But it does bring up this question. What if somebody in the body of Christ were to commit a crime? What would happen? What would happen? Well, the physical punishment for the crime would still be carried out by the civil authorities or the government of the physical nation in which that person lives. There's still a penalty. If we look at a very basic example, say somebody is speeding, driving too fast, driving over the speed limit, and a police officer sees them and pulls them over. Well, the police officer says, you know, you were going too fast, and in a lot of cases will write a ticket and they will pay the fine. They broke the civil law. They were speeding. And so they have to pay the civil authorities the penalty, which is a fine. And then hopefully they move on and don't do it again. That's considered more of a minor offense. It does happen at times, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But it's more of a minor offense. There's a minor fine for it, I guess we could say. And that's paid to the civil authorities. And if it were to be brought before the ministry of God's church, they would say, well, you need to follow the speed limit. Try to make sure you do that and be more careful next time and, you know, move forward and don't do it again. Repent, change, right? That's a small example. And obviously, if it was a more serious crime, well, there would be more serious punishment from the civil authorities. Look at this in Romans 13. It talks about following the laws as we should. Romans 13, verse 1 says, let every soul or every person be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So if there's rules, civil rules, they have to be followed. Taxes have to be paid. Speed limits have to be obeyed. Verse 2 says, "Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God." That's something to think about. You know, if we cast off some civil authority and say, "I don't need to listen to that," well, it says we're resisting the ordinance of God. Now, as long as those laws of men don't interfere with keeping the law of God, we need to make sure that we're, you know, in subjection as we should be. The verse 2 continues and says, "And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." There's going to be penalties. The verse 3 says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same." In other words, to take the example of a police officer, well, if we're following the laws, you know, we don't have to worry about that. If we're driving the speed limit, we're not worried about the police officer monitoring speed because we're obeying the law. Now, if we're breaking it, then we're concerned, right? That's what it's talking about here. And again, I'm using some pretty basic examples. So if somebody were to break the law, well, they'd have to pay the penalty. It might be a ticket. It might be, you know, paying a speeding ticket. It could be more serious. If it's a bigger law that's broken, then there's sometimes prison is one of the civil penalties. Sometimes even death. There is a death penalty in many countries. And of course, it depends on the crime. But those things are carried out by the civil authorities in the lands today. God's ministry don't carry those things out. God's ministry is a ministry of life. And it says to anybody that would commit something like that, that is seeking the counsel of the ministry, they'd be told to repent, to change, to go a different direction, to seek God's forgiveness. But they would still have to pay the penalty to the civil authorities. But that's not carried out by God's ministry. And so I think we can understand the difference today. Under the Old Covenant in ancient Israel, Moses and those that were serving under him, they did carry out the penalties of the civil laws because it was a carnal-minded people, and they were the authority, and they were carrying those things out. Today it's different. Christ's ministry is a ministration of life, a ministration of the Spirit. It teaches repentance. Christ came and died so that people could be forgiven of sin when they repent. And so that's what Christ's ministry teaches today. But for those that break the civil laws, there are punishments. And those come from the civil authorities, though, and it's a separate situation. It doesn't involve God's ministry in that way. Notice what happened here in 1 Corinthians 5. Here's some history. Verse 4, it says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." And so he's saying, look, if somebody was in the body of Christ and they were committing some crimes and doing something they shouldn't do, well, then they've got to go to the civil authorities. They've got to be dealt with. And then you work and, you know, the ministry would work and hopefully that person would repent and change and ultimately have salvation. But they would still be paying the penalty to the civil authorities for what they had done. Verse 11 says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one not to eat." And so if people are into, you know, these terrible acts, well, then they can't be part of the body of Christ at that time. They need to repent and change before they can come back. And God's ministry works with people in that way. Verse 13 says, "Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." So if somebody were to be committing crimes, well, they have to be dealt with by the civil authorities in relation to the civil law. And the ministry of God, though, would say, look, you know, if you're willing to be worked with, then we'll work with you. We'll help you to grow and to change and hopefully come to God in repentance, even though there still is a penalty there from the civil authorities. This article from PCG.Church on the administration of the Spirit, it says, "The administration of the Spirit differs from the administration of civil government under the Old Covenant. the administration of the Spirit under the leadership of Jesus Christ allows for mercy, repentance, change, and conversion. God's ministers operate with this reality in mind as they work with His people. If one of God's people maintains a humble, teachable attitude, and he or she is not causing division, there is room to work with that person for a long time to help him or her overcome. Ultimately, God wants repentance. When people sin, He wants repentance and change, and He wants to forgive them. And that's what God's ministry worked to help people to come to see and understand. God's ministry today do not administer punishment for breaking of civil laws. They don't administer civil punishment, as was done under the Old Covenant. But the civil authorities in the land still do. And we all have to be subject to those laws, as long as they're not causing us to break God's law, of course. But God's ministry work with people and try to help them to grow and to change and to repent. And so, ultimately, what we want to do is keep God's Ten Commandments, obey the civil laws of the land, and if we do that, then we'll be in favor with God and with man. And that's what God wants for all of His people to do. So that's some of the difference between the Old Covenant and the administration of death versus the administration of the Spirit, the administration of life. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.